Hi Sandra, hi all. Just thought about the Science of Life conference on healing and healing centers. We still have a long way to go because there's so many stories still to be contributed. But in a way, there is a pattern emerging already, even before the conference is taking place. It is now Thursday, the conference meeting will be on Sunday. Some more recording will be taking place before then. I reckon more will be taking place afterward. But in a way, there is already a pattern emerging, which is clear, especially to me, because I've been looking at integral healthcare for decades. As I mentioned before, the idea of healing healthcare came up in the first week of entering into medical school because I saw that they were teaching medical students the same information as I had already learned in engineering school. And that is essentially the science of dead matter. I had exited engineering school with my diploma and the notion that we need to bring science to life. And that's what we're doing in this Science of Life conference. The fundamental realization lies there that life is about being able to operate freedom of choice. We can only do that by facing the unknown, which of course is all around us and all within us. Tetrionics helps us understand how we do that, because it simply means that we are able to flip a quantum. That means that by our consciousness, we can interact with the universal consciousness, which people in the past have called God, which Tetrionics simply calls the Tetrionic quantum field. It is the electromagnetic domain where everything is interconnected, from which everything originates. And as Tetrionics describes it, it is from the Tetrionic quantum field that matter is formed and matter can be moved. So we are able to interact with that tetrionic quantum space, with that fundamental domain of phase vibration. And as a result of our participation in creation, we can change the coherence in quantum space, as a result of which we can achieve or effectuate changes at the atomic level. As a result, that can also bring changes at the molecular level. And as a result, that will change the material level. Two considerations there. First of all, the transition from quantum domain to electromagnetic domain atomic, to the chemical domain molecular, to the physical domain matter, is what people normally call magic. Magic is simply that we are able to change the quantum field. By changing the quantum field, we change the electromagnetic domain. That means we change the way atoms connect together or how atoms interact with each other. That can result to the change at the chemical level. We can change the chemistry of things. And that means that we can change physicality. So our presence in this universe implies that we operate magic, and in that sense, magic is nothing else than the practical use of operating freedom of choice. Freedom of choice is directly connected to that second aspect which is implied here, which is that called transmutation by the alchemists. And that is essentially the relation between a photon leap, electron oscillation, electron bonding, which is the transition from quantum change to atomic change to molecular change to material change. The alchemists understood that principle. They realized that the solid, the liquid, the gas and the plasma are interrelated. We now know that this interrelationship is based on only one principle, which I call electromagnetism with the N in the middle, because it is actually the quantum field moving the electrons in the atoms, as a result of which atoms can become molecules, yes or no. the electromagnetic field changes the electrons in molecules, as a result of which molecules can become materials, yes or no. And if we look at the position of the molecular in that electron magnetic domain, then on the one side the molecules can become material, on the other side the molecules can become atomic, and in that sense we can understand that the electron magnetic domain is the electron magnetic chemistry of materialization, manifestation, what the alchemist called transmutation. The transmutation is actually the level from the atoms, the molecules and the materials, which can just switch into each other in the same way that fungi can form virus, which can then form microbes, and back again to virus, back again to fungus, because essentially they originate in the spore. This is what Gaston Nassens discovered under the dark field microscope for these microorganisms. And so we can see that this transmutation at the level of the microorganism and the transmutation at the level of the atoms, molecules and materials are directly interrelated. So let's call it transmutation in general. And then we can understand that transmutation is what happens in our body when the body cells are actually doing exactly the same, when they form and transform molecules, as a result of which they on the one hand coagulate materials to so that molecules can become materials, but on the other hand they can also dissolve, and as a consequence the materials or the molecules can fall back on being atoms. Our physical body in that sense is a continuous dynamic of transmutation. It is not an anatomy with a physiology, with a neurocrinology which keeps the anatomy in place. Rather the other way around. The first cell has a hologram projected around it. All of the cells unfold in every cell replication dynamic via a fractal. That's basically the series of tent poles which keeps the whole body structure in place. And the whole body is simply the larger version of the hologram which is already contained within the zygote. The whole body is a manifestation of that principle of magic as I have defined it before, as magic being the practical aspect of the operation of freedom of choice. The principle of freedom of choice we can connect to the principle of tetrionics, that only the quantum dynamic can form and move matter, which means that we operate the quantum dynamic in forming and moving materials in our body at a level which is not of our consciousness, but which is at a deeper level. Essentially, that's already at a level there at the first cell. So we do not develop consciousness in the way we do not develop a body, but we unfold consciousness in the same way as we unfold a body. In the body we can then see that the cell is the pivot for that creation of the body, and that collaboration of all of the cells in the body. And then as the first cell, which we can regard as a point, unfolds by this fractal, which we can consider to be a line, it's also the essence of the soul, it then can create this internal sets of circulation patterns, which is the physiology, which is also the mind, which is also the psychology. It's this internal dynamic in the body, and the organs are part of that. And then as a result, the whole hologram forms, which we know as the body, which has this material shape, but actually the material is the consequence and not the cause of us being human. That principle I've described before, and I am recapitulating it simply because with that principle in place of understanding that we have cells which form organs which form the body, and then we can also understand that individuals form healing centers which form a network of healing centers, and that seems to be the topic which has already started to unfold in our conference. In my talks I refer to the work that I've been doing in defining and designing centers of integral healthcare. I've been creating at least 8 of them. All of them collapsed because people didn't understand that they need to set it up separate from money. If they do that as a gift to the universe will take care of the reward, so to say. The people there didn't do that, so they got enmeshed in this superstition of money, and as a result they switched themselves off. They stopped their fantasy, they stopped their view, they stopped their vision in its tracks. So they no longer became an agent for the universe, but they basically paralyzed themselves by stepping into this function of a slave for the bankers. So the story of the superstition of banking needs to be addressed, needs to be told, but that's best told separately. The vision that these people had, and the vision that the people in this conference are talking about, is that of being a healing agent in the universe. Coral talks it as basically she is the healing center. The healing is centered in her, this healing is centered in you. When you activate your healing, it doesn't matter where you are, healing will take place around you. I remember an episode in my life. I was in Egypt in an overcrowded bus, so crowded that the conductor who had to check the tickets of the people had to actually climb over the people to check that they did have a ticket. And in this overcrowded bus, I was standing next to somebody, and we were doing a healing process right there in that full bus. I don't care where I am, I don't care who I'm with, if healing is called for, healing is there. Because we are all healers, and we are all centers of healing, and around us we radiate healing, which I can then call contagious health. And when you have that reflected in your environment, then you are creating a center for healthcare, a healing center, because you're the healing center. And just like the music led to the building of the Stradivarius, then your willingness to heal people will result in the creation of a healing center. Joaquin talked about that. He has discovered that his innate desire to feel healthy has led to him acquiring techniques as a result of which he can help others feel healthy too. And the consequence of that is his realization that where he lives now is no longer just a place where he lives, but also a place where people can come together and in themselves discover that capacity of being healthy as well, so that it has become his healing center. Veselka will be talking about her healing center, which she has in her mind and already starts to build in Bulgaria, where she sees that there is a space that she can convert to that purpose. So in her, there is that experience already, as she has discovered many healing techniques within herself. Within herself, she already realized that what she learned as a medical doctor was not actually helping her heal people in the way she can do that now. So she discovered new techniques, other techniques, as a result of which she can connect to the soul of people directly and get them out of the trap where they are stuck and feel blocked in their environment. For example, stuck by being lived by money or by being withheld, held back by programs of their ancestors, or by being limited or restricted in beliefs inflicted upon people by social settings such as politics and political beliefs. The whole COVID story was an example of this kind of mind control inflicted on people by the use of world media. And when people discover that that's just the weather around us, but you don't have to fall into what the weather is doing, because you have freedom of choice. You can do exactly the opposite of what circumstances seem to dictate. If everybody around you tells you that you now need to jump off the edge of the cliff because that's what lemmings do, you have the freedom of choice to step out of the queue and look at them doing it, if that's what they want to do, and decide for yourself that you can learn a lot from looking. You can learn differently than by doing, and as a result you can feel or find the solution for what's happening to them, so that you can help others to avoid or prevent that they jump off the cliff simply because the news media says that. Simple Simon says, now you need to wear a face mask. Simple Simon says, now you need to stay at home. Simple Simon says, now you have to inject yourself with toxic substance. Simple Simon says can simply be removed from the microphone, essentially by people learning to listen to their own soul. Helena too has been doing that. She's been doing that for a very long time. She has already told about how she went into art, and how in living art, how the art came to live in her, and how she as a result entered into this world of art, entered into the realm where art comes from, enters into that realm of creation. And when she goes into her modality of being a priestess of the arts, as she actually enters into that inner domain, and from that inner domain expresses what she can then convey of how things work there. And her artworks are witnesses, are tokens, are testimonies of that. And she has now realized that what she was doing already has simply taken the next step. As she talks about it, she actually says it is a step-by-step process. So where first she made artworks, and then she made artworks for the household daily materials, such as the waste paper bin, the lamps that people use, the pillow cases on our beds, and so on. And now she has simply taken the next step, that it is not the objects in the house that are the gateways to that domain of art, where art originates, but it is actually the house itself which becomes the gateway, the domain, into that domain of being connected to creation. So, as she mentioned, in a village arrêt, which in French means stop, halt, be aware, notice, experience, that is where the farm which they acquired will be a place where people can reconnect to themselves, reconnect to nature, reconnect to that universal principle of creation, so that they can rediscover that they are creators, that they are artists, that they are healers, and they can design their life together. Sandra, if I can preempt your story still to be told, your life is quite the same as that of Helena. You realized that in entering into the realm of art, how you can actually go into that inner realm of feeling and deep feeling, and with the way for people to express that, for you it was not the painting, but it was the face, where you helped people to reconnect to their inner feeling. As we know, cosmetics, to a large extent, is the profession or the monetization of selling people false masks behind which they can hide. And in the way you have been looking at it, you have always been looking at how can they show their true face, and how can their soul speak out, how can their soul shine through their eyes and the face around it, so that they can connect to natural materials, so that they can connect to their natural being. And in a way, you then had a reset, how the tram rails guided your bicycle to have you collapse on your face, so that you could re-examine a facial jaw operation which you had a long time ago, as a result of which you were now able to do a reset and have entered into that same domain where Helena and so many others in the Science of Life conference operate, at that domain of universal creation which Galvin Abraham calls the quantum field. And you still have your story to tell about how it is to now experience that living outside of your body, which most people live only after they died, so that then they discover that their body is actually their pivot, their lever, like Archimedes called for, where you can change the universe there where you are, because you are the operator of freedom of choice. And then on Earth, you can do exactly the opposite of what Simple Simon says, because the universe says something else. The universe is already speaking, and yes, there are idiots who got stuck in undigested, unresolved memories, so they entered into their little prison, their little hell. And yes, on Earth, everybody has the possibility to enter into their little hell, to project from there onto others, to see which others are stuck in their little hell, and then resonate from hell to hell in this principle called Vetiko, as a result of which people create wars, they create poverty, they create starvation, they create diseases. But the other way around, when people resolve these internal hells, which is what the healing is about, then they stop resonating to where they got stuck. Helena talks about that too, so many of the others talked about that too. And instead, they start to deal with what's unstuck, the potential for a creation, the potential for living, the potential for discovery, and the realization that together we can do so much more than we can do ourselves. Barbara Consorti has been talking about how people can get stuck, and how too she has discovered that art and music and being together with other people open that space where everything can unfold, and where the opening can be seen, the opening can take place, and the unstuck, the stuck can become unstuck, the undigested becomes digested, the unpalatable becomes palatable, and the fixations become the stepping stones for new creations. Saskia Bosman, of course, has been doing a lot of the same. As a psychic, she realized that, let me be blunt and quote some other psychics than her. Some of the other psychics, Blue Star, for example, in our group as well, realized that the people around were lying. She could see what they had been doing. She could see who they are doing, were doing it with. And then the people said, no, you are wrong. This is not how it is. And as a result, there was a necessity to rediscover what truth is, and how truth can be lived amongst liars, and how heaven can be experienced in people who are firm believers in hell. So there we are, living on Earth in that canvas, half painted, half not, half devils, half angels. And the question, of course, what are you going to contribute? And by realizing that you have that choice, then Blue Star and Saskia and others in the group entered into that exploration of how can we see what the truth is, how can we see what the essence is in the life that we live, and how can we be that essence. Saskia has been talking about how she looked into the chakra system and discovered that we can actually interact with that. Through them we can communicate with so many other things, such as the dolphins, such as other people. And she also established for everybody to see that this chakra system is a vibrational system where everything interconnects. And one of the connection vibrations is that of the Schumann resonance, which is also the healing resonance. And so Saskia, like Henk, and they also shared work in the past together in in various places where they were developing that understanding of how the vibrations are involved with this. Roger Melhuis, he actually discovered that he could connect to the inner soul in the living being, and from the inner soul realize where the blockages were, so that with the Bach flower remedies it was possible to show people that there is so much more, that the blockage is basically a moment of a choice yet to be taken. And once you see that, you don't have to stay stuck there, you don't have to keep that fixated in memory, but you can see that as a pivot point, a turning point for a new discovery. Then with the Bach flower remedies that Roger used, people unfolded, and the pains that they had, the disease that they had, they just disappeared, because people stopped being living in their hell and they came out and started to live in heaven, became alive, became healthy, became healers. And Henk, of course, does the same. He's been doing that too. He, through the music, was able to look into people, hear what's going on in people, hear where they were stuck, and with music got them to vibrate again, to sing their song again, and to come back into motion again. Olu, in his way, has been doing that. He, at some point in a conference before we started the Science of Life conference, talked about him living in Brixton in Jamaica in Africa, and now in England, and it was quite amazing because the shirt he was wearing was simply a white shirt with some colors, but as he was speaking, it went from African to, from Jamaican to African to tribal, and to very much Western. So by his story, he influenced the perception of me and others around him, and people like John Wood and Waltraud Boxall, they too have been able to do that by helping people to see that there is more to see, that there are other ways of looking at things, that there are more things that can be experienced. And in the same way that a number of people in the group have already started to talk about the healing centers that they are creating, likewise, John Wood in setting up the design schools, Olu in teaching, Waltraud in teaching, they have emanated around them that deeper understanding that when we look at reality, we can reflect on what we see from our own limitations, or we can reflect on what we see transcending our own limitations, or we can look at what we see by including the different perspectives of other people as well, to a larger, more encompassing, more integrative kind of perception, to actually what so many in the conference are already addressing, and what Stefan is also looking for in describing Buddhism, same as Tetsunori, that there is this framework of cultural understanding by which we can consistently look at what we see from a larger perspective, and in that larger perspective not only look at what we see but also how we think about it, also what it simply is without our thoughts about it, and also look at it as how can that be the next step to discovering that there is more. Rajendra in his way has already done that too, by realizing that when we look at the body, we can measure the body as physicists would do, and using mathematics to describe that as mathematicians would do. But it is also possible to use mathematics, to use physics, to look at the body in a different way. In Rajendra's approach, same as Rule, it's that of the light field. And in the light field, realize that there is something that we always see, but we do not see when we look at the body, and that the whole body is a light field, and the body operates in and from and by the light field. And that means that we come back to the essence, that in our body, with our consciousness, we can connect to that light field, which is also known as quantum field, which is the fundamental field of being and also the fundamental field of healing. There are others in our group which I haven't mentioned at this moment, but so many have already seen that there is more to see. So many of them have acted on that and helped others see that there is more to see. And so many have also taken the next step in making it possible for others to step into that, to experience that, to do that, to become that. And the art of doing that is fundamentally had the skill of creating, of being and creating a healing center. So in being a healing center, and thereby creating a healing center, as so many in the conference have already started to mention, and of course Richard and Maria Carmen are also doing that, have been doing that. So they do have the experience of orchestrating and operating a healing center and being the healer at the core of the healing center. And then, of course, there is this deep experience which is there, which can be shared. And when I listen to these talks, as they have already come up, with the other talks which I hope still will be coming, such as those of Richard and Maria Carmen, because they already have their healing center. Coral already talked about the healing center next door to where she lives, and that's also the reason why she lives there. So that the ones who are setting up their healing center and the ones who already have their healing center can cross-pollinate and mutually inspire each other. And that, for me, is, say, the topic which I would like to address in this recording session, which is that of the Centers for Integral Healthcare. When all of the people who are setting up their healing center connect to the people who already have their healing center, they can together form part of the Centers for Integral Healthcare. Integral Healthcare is a website I created because I realized that the forms of healing of the West, the East, the Far East, and the Far West actually complement each other, for the simple reason that the West looks at the anatomy, the East looks at the physiology, the Far East looks at the neurocrinology, and the Far West looks at the consciousness, body, mind, soul, spirit, all together. And when you combine all of these four approaches, you get so much more than each of them can offer. Because the West is very good for emergency medicine. If you have a car crash, then it is really helpful for the whole physicality of the hospital to be there for those people, to put them together again. But that doesn't really work well, as I mentioned in the previous recording, if you do not add Ayurvedic medicine, because the internal circulation between the organs, in the body, between the organs, between the cells, needs to be restored, and it needs to be reconnected to the food flow around us. But that only works well if you go to the next level, the deeper level of acupuncture, that the rhythms of what goes on in the body and the rhythm of what goes on outside of us get reconnected, that the piano is tuned to be able to play back into orchestra again. So that's where you need the acupuncture, that's where you need the chakra therapies, so that all of these rhythms and all of these flows can be can be matched up again, so that they fit in perfectly well. But as I mentioned as well in the previous recording, in order to be able to calibrate and tune what goes on inside of the body versus what goes on outside, compare that to somebody at the wadi using a water pump to bring water from the Nile into the field, you need to see what's going on in the field, and you need to see what's going on in the Nile and the climate around us. And that's what spiritual healing does. It sees the picture of the part and it sees the picture of the whole, and then can see if everything is in the right place. So the centers of integral healthcare are based on that, so that people can have their own health center and connect it to the health center of others, so that they can mutually inspire, they can get information from each other, they can get people from each other, they can visit each other, and then ultimately they can come into that experience such as which we will be having end of July in Jaramara in Mexico, thanks to Coral and Sajila, where healers healing healers, you can make optimal use of the differences of healing technique, so that by the principle of synergy healing, you use different kinds of healing techniques at the same time to heal somebody. Because it doesn't matter if the one healer and the other healer understand each other, because it is not about them understanding each other anyhow. It's about if the body understands what they are doing. And if the body understands that one healer is doing something which actually talks body language, the body can understand, and another healing talks body language at a level where the body can understand, then the body can disregard the two methods of healing and come back to the essence of the message of the healing, that it at the level of body language, the body knows, ah, this one is telling me to look into that, the other one is telling me to look into that. Now it's easy to know what I'm looking for, and I can resolve it. And synergy healing is a very quick way of helping the body heal itself, for the simple reason that the body is not looking at the form of the therapy, because it's never about the form of the therapy. The Grinder and Bandler, with their neuro-linguistic programming, as a linguist and a mathematician, they were looking at different forms of healthcare, and they basically discovered that the four main healers that they were looking at, none of them did what they said that they were doing. But actually, in their body language and in their methodology, they were doing something else, and that was quite the same and very similar. And in that same way, the body is not concerned if you come from the one school or the other school, or if you're a surgeon or an internal medical doctor. Actually, the body doesn't care if you come from the west, the east, the far east, or the far west, as long as you talk body language and can help the body understand what's going on. And that, I think, is what seems to be happening in this conference already. I have not mentioned Jelbert yet, because he is at the moment traveling between different participants in the Science of Life conference, and actually sharing what he's doing with them. And so he's a perfect example of the traveling healer who is available at the healing centers to give them a new impulse, to provide a new way of looking at it, to help the healers heal themselves, and in that sense is an example of an ambassador for integral healthcare. That if you are a healer and if you travel the world, then contagious health will automatically radiate around you. So with that understanding, then integral healthcare is simply an integrative factor for all of these health centers that are being talked about already in the Science of Life conference, and by regarding them as the creation of their creators, or simply the manifestation of the healing that is already emanating from their creator, then everything falls in place. And if it is clear that all of them are expression of that capacity for healing, then it doesn't much matter which health center it is, or where that health center is, or what that health center offers, because it is simply the calabash, the Stradivarius, the sitar, in which the music of the healing can be heard. It's the focusing device by which people can stop long enough, as Helena said, the village where she is actually called Arrêt, which means stop, that they can stop long enough to see that there is something to be seen beyond what they were looking at, and that they can discover that there is something else going on around them which goes much further and much deeper and much wider than what they're hypnotized into believing. So that these health centers are centers for de-dogmatization, that people can step out of their dogma and can reconnect to the larger reality. And for me, from the perspective of integral healthcare, it would be very simple for them all to simply announce what they are doing on the website for integral healthcare, so that they can connect to each other, they can connect through each other, and that they can mutually inspire each other, they can mutually help each other, and also as healers healing healers can visit each other and can experience what they're doing together. Because often when people are healers, they in a way tend to get stuck in the modalities that work best for them, and then it is really helpful if they exchange those modalities so that they can experience the modalities of others, specifically as in synergy healing, that their body can get back in touch with these other modalities, and as a result get in touch with that deeper level of health and healing and being healthy, being healed, so that it is that level that can speak. Because in general, we can connect up to others only as far as we can connect up or down into ourselves. And in our Science of Life conferences, we are consistently doing that. I am amazed, baffled, enthusiastic, inspired by all of the discoveries and explorations I hear in every of our meetings, that there is so much greater depth that I can look at, that I can see through your eyes, and by your stories, you open up a different realization of reality than I could have otherwise. And I'm very sure that that is the same for all of the others too. And that as a result, we are each other's looking glass, and by talking about the topics that we discuss, we actually see that that's just one of the petals of the flower. And then with the other stories, we see that the flower itself is much larger, and we see where the center of the flower is. And it keeps us connected to that center. It keeps us connected in that center. It keeps us connected in that centering. And I think that that's the great power of the Science of Health, the Science of Life conferences. I already said the Science of Health conferences, because that's what we now have connected, so that we understand not only that the science of life is a foundation of health, but that we are actually also living that and applying the science of life in our daily lives. And I think that's itself the demonstration of that you are the center of health, and that the Science of Life conferences also had the eye of the cyclone, by which life and health is actually expressing itself. So thank you all so very much for that.